Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is a Monday. It's a reaction Monday, a big reaction Monday. Right here with us, Jacob Albracht, Tommy Kester. We're happy to be with you. We're happy to have Jad Chambers back in-house, manning that IHOP hotline. Just brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites, for just $6 Monday through Friday. We got Wyatt Thompson coming in, voice of the Wildcats, to go through their win in West Virginia. No worries, right? Trap game? Nah, no problem for the Wildcats as we look ahead to a big one. The big one for a lot of people coming up this weekend. We'll talk Chiefs, of course. We'll talk the NFL. We'll talk KU finally doing what they're supposed to be doing this season. Was very nice to see. A World Series is set. All kinds of good stuff for you today. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Happy Monday. Good to see you today. You know, there are some Mondays that, feel like a good day. There are some Mondays that feel like a Monday. Today, for me, at least, feels like a Monday. You know, like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Just kind of running behind, you know, like that just kind of happens that way. But here we are. I'm ready to get into it today. It was a fun weekend of football. So that makes it worth it. Even if you're having a hard time getting around and getting going today, there's a lot of good things to talk about.
Yeah, it was good. You might have been up late if you were like me and pretty interested in that game last night. Maybe we'll have time to get into the Jets Steelers probably tomorrow. But yeah, it was a late night. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Look, the Chiefs get a win. And let's start there because we'll have Wyatt Thompson in to talk a little college football next. The Super Bowl rematch that we've all been looking forward to, right, since the schedules were made, did not feature Rashi Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, Hollywood Brown, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk for the most part. It was a little different than what we anticipated that game looking like. But the Chiefs have a pretty impressive win, 28-18. The game ball to me goes to Spags for sure. The way the defense played, turned over Brock Purdy three times. San Francisco had every opportunity to go ahead, to score points, to maybe even win that game. But the Chiefs defense just kept coming up big and big and big. And in a game where Patrick Mahomes was not very good, at least through the air, he was great on the ground on a couple of different runs. The Chiefs were able to come away with a 10-point road win. And Tommy, it sort of is this season, right? Like, we can come up with all these weird things that are happening, but at the end of the day, they're 6-0, and they have a win against the Ravens, and they have a win against the Bengals, and they have a win against the 49ers. And you just keep checking them off.
Well, the 49ers are not very good because they
they're decimated.
Well, yeah, but I mean, come on, like, let's be honest here. They're not very good because they're injured, because they've got a lot of people that are out. It's okay to say that they're not very good because they're just not. Like, that's not the same team that the Chiefs played in the Super Bowl. Their record indicates that. Like, it really does. Even, like, before this game with the Niners, they haven't had McCaffrey all season long. They've dealt off and on with different other injuries that have really impacted them and individual players for various games throughout the first six or seven games of the year. So going into the game, I was never really concerned about the Chiefs' ability to not only win the game, but to look pretty good while doing it overall, because they just, the 49ers are just without a lot of their weapons. And, you know, so really I think that the Chiefs went into San Francisco. They did what they needed to do. Defensively, they absolutely were stifling all day long. We've known how good this defense has been in stopping the run, and they were good stopping the run again yesterday. It's been sort of hit and miss off and on with the secondary, but, you know, of course, when you're down Deebo and then Ayuk exits early, and you really can then focus in on just a handful or a couple of guys like George Kittle that, you know, are going to be able to, you know, potentially hurt you. And so the secondary, they did a really good job being aggressive. I think Spags, and I've always believed this, that Spags usually, you know, times blitzes better than any other defensive coordinator in the NFL. They did that really well. I think yesterday they were able to get pressure. They were able to get those interceptions. Purdy threw a couple of really unexplainable passes that the Chiefs picked off. And, you know, ultimately that's what led them to victory. And so this is what this team is. As you mentioned, they're strong defensively. They're going to run the crap out of the ball. And, you know, they're going to pass when it makes sense. But more often than not, they're going to really lean on the run game.
Well, yeah, they have to, right? And I mean, you just look up and down the roster. Juju goes down basically before the game ever gets started with that hamstring that was bothering him. And you don't really have a choice if you're the Chiefs. What's so impressive is that everybody knows that. The defense that they're facing knows that. They know they want to run the ball, and they do it anyway, right? That's what has been what's the most impressive to me for the Chiefs. Not only is it that they're 6-0 and they're overcoming, and Mahomes isn't playing that great, at least statistically, and all these things are happening in the injuries. It's just that other teams know what they want to do, and they can't stop it. They know they want to run the ball. Okay, stop it. Do something about it, and they can't do it. Kareem Hunt wasn't. He didn't have any explosive runs or anything like that, but he did exactly what they needed it to. The explosive runs came from Patrick Mahomes and Mecole Hardman. The defense, though, Tommy, yesterday, credit to Mitch Holthus, he called this before the season started right here. He said he thinks the defense was going to be better. I thought he was crazy. He's right. It is better. And that is wild. And yesterday was a day where San Francisco moved the ball okay on them. But they just like the Chiefs then come up with the big plays. I mean, Purdy was terrible. He was awful. Brady was letting him have it during the broadcast. Like, even on plays they did make, he was like, yeah, that was underthrown. They probably could have had more. Like, Purdy had a terrible game. And you know that's a Spag special, right? Just make it brutal on the opposition. Confuse them. Do all the things that Spagnuolo does. It's crazy. And I think, we'll get into this later in the show. You look at it, they're 6-0. They beat that team on the road. Yes, that team is not, it is a shell of itself, but they still beat that team on the road by 10 points. Is this going to be enough moving forward? We see Juju go down again. We know the left tackle is still a problem. Joey Bosa was dominant. They're finding ways to work through it. I guess it just comes down to, and I don't know what I think about this yet, and we don't have to make the call necessarily. Is this enough when it matters the most in the postseason? And I think you have to take that all the way to the Super Bowl. So when you think about that, like, you have to think about, is it enough to beat the Ravens? Is it enough to beat the Lions right now? Or maybe even the Vikings, if you still put them there, or the Texans or the Packers. Like, I think you have to envision it that way as the trade deadline looms, because left tackle is a problem, right? Wanya Morris, but they worked around it, right? They figured out a way around it. And wide receiver, I guess they just don't need any. They'll just keep throwing the tight ends and running the ball.
I can tell you right now, especially after what they did yesterday, they're not going to go and acquire a wide receiver. Like, and that's just not – I would be shocked if that happens, because Juju goes down early, and ultimately they don't need him. They don't need him. They find other ways to work. Now, ideally, would you like to have – Juju in the lineup? Sure, you'd love to have Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown in the lineup too, but you don't, and the Chiefs are still 6-0. Like, they're going to keep riding this. They're going to keep playing the way that they feel like they need to play to get these victories. I just don't think that they're going to go and try to make an addition, and I do think that if they even decided to go and do that, it would be of little impact anyway for the remainder of this season. I also, from a left tackle perspective, I'm not willing yet to say that left tackle is a problem. Left tackle was a problem yesterday, but you have to look at who was opposite of Wanya Morris, and that's Nick Bosa, who's a game wrecker in general. Like, basically every left tackle in the National Football
League. Trey Hendrickson wrecked him too for the Bengals.
But basically every left tackle in the National Football League looks bad when they're lined up against Nick Bosa. That's what makes Nick Bosa so special in the NFL. I would suggest that, and I don't think they're going to do any kind of acquisition before the deadline, but if they did, they absolutely should prioritize left tackle over wide receiver, like 100%. If you're going to go and you're going to push your chips in and say, we're going to go and make an acquisition, which again, I don't think they're going to do either way. I think you got to go get a left tackle before you go get a wide receiver. Wide receiver just seems inconsequential with the way that the Chiefs want to play football right now.
It does. The problem with left tackle is there is not going to be one worth getting out there. Teams don't trade left tackles. I mean, I know you've looked historically at the trades of wide receivers. Look at historically the trades of left tackles. They don't happen.
You're right. So again, I don't think they're going to do anything.
Right.
And I think a lot of it is because of that.
I still think it's slightly the good news for the Chiefs is they do get one more quality game before the deadline. And I mean, it's right before the deadline. The Buccaneers game is the day before the trade deadline. So, you know, if they got into a situation where they didn't think the offense could keep up, maybe, but I still don't have a strong lean on whether they will or whether they won't with a wide receiver. I think they got to see what's going on with Juju. I don't think they can with left tackle. I don't think it matters too much. I want to know when Hollywood Brown comes back, because that's something you have to think about too. Like, I think all of this is just now a question for a Super Bowl, right? It's not a question of getting there. It's not a question of anything else. It's a question of, do you have enough in the tank if you play a Super Bowl on a neutral field against XYZ team? And I think they get the luxury of thinking about it that way too, because they are 6-0 and they can look what Brett Veach can, that the team in the locker room is never going to look ahead, but Brett Veach can look ahead and think about those kinds of things.
I think you also have to keep in mind the recipe for the success that we've seen from Kansas City through the first six games. And really it was all wrapped up in what we saw yesterday. They controlled the ball. They controlled the time of possession. They ran the ball like crazy. And when they did throw, in a lot of cases, they had three tight ends out there. They had Kelce, Fortson, and Gray. They want to control the tempo. You can do that and absolutely have success when your defense is playing the way that it is. Keep in mind, they should be getting Isaiah Pacheco back in, what, probably 6 weeks or so, 8 weeks from now. Like, you'll have him more than likely down the stretch. And if you've got a tandem of him and Kareem Hunt in the backfield, you want to control the time of possession anyway and only throw it when necessary. It's a different kind of Chiefs offense, but it can absolutely be effective. I think what they have right now is absolutely enough playing this kind of football to go all the way.
Yeah. I agree, because their defense is so good. Yeah. And they're just so dang good in the interior of the line, even if they're not good at left tackle. If I told you that the Chiefs would walk into this season without three of their four top options in the offense, and Travis Kelce, who's the fourth, has done almost nothing, they're 6-0 with wins against those teams. Like, this is the NFL. It's crazy. And as many things that went wrong for them last year, they're all going right for them this year. 6-0, win against the Niners. We'll have more on that game, including Patrick Mahomes. God, doing some things that just make you laugh, honestly. But when we come back, we'll talk a little Cat football. K-State, big winners last week ahead of the Sunflower Showdown this week. Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, joins Sports Daily next. Don't go away.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
NFL football available for free here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune into 97.5 and 1240 KFH tonight at 7 after the Chris Lamb Show for Monday Night Football. Tampa Bay hosting Baltimore, one of the games of the week. You can simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time to listen as well. And joining us right now as we begin to talk some college football from the weekend, voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. K-State, no doubt about it, right? Just like we all suspected. No worries out there in West Virginia, 45-18. Of course, that's not the case. Everybody had a lot of concern about that game and where it fell on the schedule. But just a really impressive performance. And Wyatt, of all the great things in that game, to me, I think the most important thing and the thing that stands out the most, and we wondered about this, Avery Johnson got hurt, dinged up 2 weeks ago, and we wondered if he would be able to run as normal in this game. He didn't run the ball one time, but he threw it almost for 300 yards and three touchdowns, and I think showed everybody, hey, he's a passer as much as he's a runner.
You know, and honestly, if we're being 100% blunt, we've kind of said all along he can do both. And I think he's proving that he can do that. Was he a better runner at the beginning of the year than he was a thrower? Yeah, probably. But I think he's starting to catch up on a lot of fronts that way. And good to be on with you guys again. I was really proud of his effort, because at the end of the day, they stacked the box, had five guys at the line of scrimmage, and says, DJ Giddens will not beat us tonight. You are going to have to throw the football to win. And after a little bit, K-State said, okay, let's go do it. I thought it was a really hard game until Garrett Green was injured.
Yeah.
Certainly started to turn K-State's way in a big way after that. And you can kind of understand that. The guy's a really good run threat. They were doing a pretty decent job. But I think you could kind of tell from the get-go that this was a fragile team from a mindset for West Virginia, shaken by the loss at home last week, 2 weeks ago now, I guess, to Iowa State. And I think K-State just kind of wore them out, actually. They played a ton of guys and really played pretty good football. Even in the second half when running was hard, you know, they were getting more in the second half than they did in the first. That's obvious.
Wyatt, going back to what you mentioned about DJ Giddens, and obviously that was the game plan for the Mountaineers defensively, was to stop the run, to shut down Giddens. I thought what was really impressive to me was not only did the Wildcats then need to pass the ball, but they were able to get Giddens involved in the pass game more. So it wasn't like DJ just took a back seat and didn't do anything. I mean, he and Johnson connected the 55-yard pass down to the West Virginia one at one point in the game. They got him involved in other ways too, which I thought was really important considering that, you know, he's obviously such a dynamic playmaker.
That's such a good point from my perspective because, you know, a good back that is having that kind of production and you don't have a lot of success early, you could get frustrated. But DJ, that's not him, right? It's not his makeup. It's not who he is. And I think he just kind of kept grinding and knowing that there's going to be some things out there for him, whether it be in the run game or the pass game. And there were, as I said a moment ago, the farther the game went on, you could see K-State was kind of starting to get some feel in the run game, and that helped him. But I've also said this for a long, long time. The guy really has remarkable hands and continues to just be stellar in the pass game. And I'm sitting here looking. They targeted him just two times and had the one catch. But that one catch was for 53. That was one of the bigger plays in the game, frankly.
A lot of big plays defensively. And I know the Green injury you mentioned had a lot to do with West Virginia slowing way down, but I do think the defense is finding a groove a little bit. I mean, I think it's the offense for K-State, and I think it's fair when you talk about K-State to start with the offense, but I do think the defense is showing signs of life and, you know, continuing to show us what they want to do, which is get after the passer and let teams throw it on them and not run it on them. But West Virginia ran the ball pretty well. And they still, you know, at the end of the day, I think they'd look at it and say, yeah, we feel good about that defensive performance.
I think you make another good point there, too. But I will add this, and I agree with what you said in that they ran the ball pretty well. But if you closely look at the numbers, they averaged 3.5 yards a carry. K-State's going to take that every single time, right? Now, Garrett Green averaged 8.1. Let's tell it like it is, right? I mean, there's a big difference there. But I thought, I mean, you look at C.J. Donaldson, averaged 2.8. Jaheim White, 2.6. You get the idea. They did a good job on their running backs. But Garrett was, and he's a handful for a lot of people. But back to your point about the defense, I love the fact that they're playing so many guys. And it's not just that they're playing guys. Those guys are starting to be productive. I would throw out as an example in this particular game, Jack Fabris in his game. I thought Jack played one of his best football games as a Wildcat, and it really didn't have that much to do with the interception. It helps, but he did a lot of good things on the defensive side. But we're continuing to see Toby Osunsami and those types of guys, Ryan Davis, helping out. And one thing about this defense that I think has kind of somewhat flown under the radar, fellas, tell me what you think of this, is that the defensive front guys, I mean, you're getting good quality play out of Damian Ilalio right now and Uso, and even to a smaller degree maybe, but still good quality football out of Travis Bates, and then maybe a tiny bit out of Asher Tomaszewski. That's pretty good depth at that defensive tackle rotation spot.
You know, going into the season, Wyatt, we had a lot of conversations about what the Wildcats were going to do from a tight end perspective when you lose a guy like Ben Sinnott going to the draft. How is that production going to be replaced? Will they be able to get tight ends involved in the offense? And clearly on Saturday, Avery Johnson was able to do that with the touchdowns, not only to Will Ancio, but also Garrett Oakley. As you've seen this season progress, have you noticed that growth from these tight ends to be able to get more involved in the passing game?
And I love the question. The short answer, yes, and I'll get to that in a second. But a tip of the cap, even though I'm not wearing one, to Ben Sinnott. He got his first yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. But I'm so excited for him. He's such a great young guy. And I congratulate him. Now, with all of that said, let's put it into perspective this way. You look at the tight ends, and you saw Garrett Oakley get hurt early. You saw Braden Lofton get hurt after that. And yet, K-State has 8 receiving touchdowns from the tight ends this year, right? Oakley has 2. Lofton has 2. Swanson has 2. Fancio has 2. That's pretty good production, right? I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Tommy took the words out of my mouth, and it's apropos. We're talking about the Chiefs and the way they've redesigned this offense, and they run 3 and 4 tight ends out there, and teams don't have an answer for it. You know, I would imagine for K-State, we'll call it an embarrassment of riches. I think that's just they're fortunate to have a bunch of good ones. But, man, with a young quarterback who's making his way, to have that position be so shored up has to be a tremendous help for a young quarterback.
So true. And I think if you go back and look, and this probably from my mind defines the growth of Avery as much as anything, go back and look at the 2 catches in the end zone to the tight ends, and the tight window, and the tough play, and the ball is right on the money. If that doesn't satisfy you, go look at the long throw to Jay Jacks early in the Jaden Jackson. It's like, you know, it's right there. I mean, I love the kid's work ethic, Avery Johnson, and just what he's doing. And in the same breath, it's like, I mean, I'm on cloud 9 when I come to work here every day. I'm not going to lie about that. But when I think about what lies ahead for him, including next year and beyond, how do you not get geeked up about that? I mean, he's an unbelievable talent and an unbelievable guy.
Wyatt, defensively, Marcus Siegel had a great game, of course, returned that interception for a touchdown. He added on 9 tackles, 2 of them were for loss. It really seemed like he was constantly involved defensively, had a couple of pass breakups as well. And this is a guy that I know that has really battled to try to get into this position this season, to be able to hold on to those interceptions and then, of course, be able to return one back. That's been a lot of fun also to watch as the season has gone on.
We weren't as late playing this game as the games prior on the road with the game in Provo and the game in Boulder. And I don't know if you heard this, but if you didn't, go back and listen to Marquise visiting with Stan and I in postgame, because I think it tells you everything you need to know about him. He's a very soft-spoken guy by nature, but he talked about last year having, you know, a few, whether that means 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, I'm not totally sure. But, you know, he basically said, I got tired of being called Stonehands. And he worked on it all last spring, all through the summer, into camp. And I'll just finish it off by saying this. If you want to get excited about how well a guy is playing, ask Chris Kleiman about Marquise Siegel. He just glows every time, because he's usually in the right spot. He usually makes big plays. And he had absolutely one of his best football. I mean, Austin Romaine had 12 tackles in the game, and Siegel had 9. I mean, that's a lot of work, good quality work. And I'm happy for Siegel. He's a neat young guy.
I am too. And I know K-State fans, they probably don't care, but boy, KU picked a good time to finally get it right, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
You got the Sunflower Showdown coming this week. They had easily their most complete game of offense against Houston on the weekend. And I know it's against Houston, but man, when you look at what they've dealt with this year and what they have been going through to get to that spot, it's a reminder that Jalen Daniels is still there. It's a reminder that they have really talented running backs. They have really talented receivers. And he does appear to be coming back, or at minimum, you know, finally meshing with his offensive coordinator. And now this becomes probably a little bit more of a test maybe than we would have thought 2 or 3 weeks ago in the Sunflower Showdown.
I agree with that on all fronts, to be honest with you. I didn't see all of the KU game. I'll watch that as I go throughout the week. But that looked more like the Daniels –
yes.
Of 2 years. Well, I guess not. Yeah. You do the math. But
yeah,
back when he was playing his best football, that's kind of what it looked like. All along, I think if you're being honest about it, they've lost some hard games. And as it turns out, okay, I'll say that again. As it turns out, UNLV and Illinois are pretty darn good, fellas.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you can look at some other games. I get that. But I do wonder if they're not starting to catch a little traction here. And with the running backs, I mean, Devin Neal's one of the best players in this league, in period, end of story. Daniel's probably the same. You mentioned the veteran receivers. This team has seven seniors starting on offense at last count and eight on defense. So it's pretty decent. There's a reason they were picked where they were. Now, again, you can argue all day of why they're this or why they're not that. But I think you have to, Stan says this all the time, you have to gauge an opponent with what they are when they're playing at their optimum pace and level. And I think that's how you have to look at Kansas. They're certainly capable. 100% true.
There's one thing, Wyatt, that I've noticed over the last couple of weeks with Avery Johnson that I have been really impressed with. We, of course, everybody knows about all of his attributes and athleticism and everything that he brings to the table. That is well known and well documented. Over the last couple of weeks, I feel like his poise, if that's the right word, has continued to grow. Like he looks significantly more comfortable than he did at the very beginning of the season. The progressions are there. The pre-snap reads are there. Everything that he's doing from a poise perspective, the way he carries himself, doesn't let the moment get too big. All of those different things, I feel like it's rounding into form, and especially when you're getting into Sunflower Showdown week, it's a big week. You know, of course, the game is at home, and you're going to have, you know, thousands and thousands of people there to, you know, cheer on you beating your arch rival, all of that. That could be really easy to have the moment end up being too big for you, but I don't get the sense that that's Avery Johnson at all.
Tommy, did you say K-State's actually going to play a home game this week?
They are. They're back at home.
I can't tell you how excited I am for that after a month not being here. And the cool part is that through what we've been through to this point, you have three of your next four at home. The only exception to that is next week we go to Houston. But your point about Avery, I think there's a couple of things to probably say here. He has grown a lot this year, and you knew he would, through mistakes, through great play, probably everything in between. I'm sure you would mostly agree with that thought. One thing that I think probably should be mentioned here, because he, and I've talked about him and his football knowledge and acumen and work ethic before, but one thing that I think really helps, every now and again, you know, I'll look back at a game or see it, you know, on the monitor, you know, while we're calling the game, and he's over there, and when he and Matt Wells are in conversation, you can just see a young man that is locked in. And I so appreciate that, because I think Matt Wells has really helped him settle in. He's done a lot of it too, without question, but I think coaching matters, man. And I think Matt Wells has done a really good job with him.
I think they've all done a good job. I can't wait for this game. I am so happy that we saw KU play the way that they did last weekend to get a really good Sunflower Showdown in it. K-State comes into this game, by the way, as a 10-point favorite, which is interesting at home. That's about right. I think a lot of people are going to think that's not enough, but you had to kind of watch KU last week. But I'll tell you, Wyatt, right now they've got the over-under, and I don't know how much you care, pay attention to this stuff, at 55 points. It feels like they're going to score a lot of points in this game collectively. And K-State's defense, as they look good against West Virginia, they're going to be really tested this week. And I think we could see a fireworks show this week in Manhattan.
Yeah, I think one of the intriguing matchup in this game to me is K-State's defensive front against KU's offensive line. And maybe vice versa, too, right? I mean, KU's defensive front is probably a little bit better than perception, honestly. One thing that we didn't talk about with the victory at West Virginia, K-State played without their starting right tackle, Carver Willis, who I think will probably be back this week. So excited for Andrew Lane Gang to get his first career start, and I thought he did an admirable job, especially when you consider this. Think about this, fellas. He had played 10 snaps at tackle all year prior to Saturday night. Most of his work had been done at either the left or the right guard. So K-State is developing, and John Pastore did a nice job too. They're developing depth there. And prior to the West Virginia game, remember now, this is a team that was averaging about 240 rushing yards a game. I'm hoping they can get in the vicinity of that. I'm not going to kid you. If they do that, I like their chances.
It's coming. It's coming. So yeah. This is one of obviously the fun games of the year, and we wait for it every year. It's a 7 o'clock kick. It is in prime time. We got that news recently here too. So it'll be kind of up by itself on a national telecast, all eyes on it. What do you guys have special coming up? We know this has got to be a fun one for you guys each and every year on the network.
Well, here's the plan. Okay. I hope this comes to fruition because the two players that I've requested to visit with this week, I think are both Kansas kids that have a lot of ties and can speak to this rivalry and what it is. One is Ty Bowman, who we didn't mention, had a terrific game last week against West Virginia, 3 catches, 27 yards. That doesn't sound like a lot, but one was a third down conversion. One was a fourth down conversion when the game was still relatively tight. He's also exceptional as a special teams guy. And then I'm going to also try to visit with Keenan Garber, who's from Lawrence Free State. He's been here a long time, started as a receiver. He's been a corner and frankly has developed into one of the best cover corners in our league. And I think both of those guys can give us a real full idea of what it's like to play in this game. Because you know what? If you're a Kansas kid, regardless of which side of the line you're on, you love this stuff, right?
Yep.
This is a game they all point to. Every time we go out to the Catbacker events, I hear people all the time that one of the first things they say to those players after welcome, we're glad you're here, is you're going to beat Kansas, right? It's been like that for 23 years, guys. It's just the way it works.
And it's been not a foregone conclusion recently. And that's what we love about it is that you don't just write this one off. It should be a lot of fun. We'll be looking forward to the call this weekend. Wyatt, we know you guys will do an awesome job and we appreciate these visits each week.
You're very kind, fellas. Great talking to you. Appreciate it.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. We'll get into KU's win maybe when we come back, and then we'll spend a lot of time on the Chiefs in the second hour, Tommy. But I thank you. Thank goodness KU finally gave us that. And maybe it's too little too late for a lot of things, but it's not too little too late for this game this week. And you know what the most important thing KU will do the rest of the way is. I mean, it's very clear. It's very obvious. It'll be the Sunflower Showdown game.
Yeah, they want to play spoiler really bad. I mean, basically Kansas State is, right on the verge. Like, if they have one more loss, like that's going to take them out of contention for the Big 12 title. Kansas would love to be the team to hand them that second conference loss. And so it's going to be a fiery week for sure. It always is. And I'm looking forward to talking more about it as the week goes on.
And it was almost K-State getting a lot of the cushion they needed in the Big 12. The rest of the why it was so close to being such a perfect weekend for the Cats. But let's talk about the Sunflower Showdown. We'll talk about that as well. I want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH. Glad to be here with you. It's all Brockton Caster. Jad Chambers back in the chair. We'll be back. More Sports Daily coming your way.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Get out to Crestview. Check out the great facility. Still plenty of time for some golf. 36 holes to choose from. Tommy and I, both members out there, we both love it. We think you will, too. Different membership options, and they'll give you a tour of the facilities. Just tell them we sent you from Sports Daily, and go say hello. Tommy, it was almost a perfect weekend for the Wildcats. Texas Tech loses. You had Iowa State on the ropes at home against UCF. You had BYU on the ropes at home against Oklahoma State. But BYU and Iowa State both find ways to win those games at home. You do get a little help with Texas Tech. That's nice. Remember, they don't play Texas Tech, though, so they're still in a tiebreaker situation with them. But it was, you know, as we've asked this question 1,000 times, can they afford to lose again? We don't think they can. Just a reminder of how wild the Big 12 is. And remember, the Big 12 only had one game and it's a double-digit, spread over the weekend. Only one, and it was Iowa State who almost lost. But what might have been, we sit here the same way. There are now 6 teams in the Big 12 with 0 or 1 losses in conference play. Do with that what you will. 6 of them. So you just got to keep winning. And this weekend against KU, it's going to get a lot tougher. The Jayhawks, easily their best performance. And yeah, I know it was against Houston and it was at home. I know all that stuff. But man, you got to start somewhere, right? And that's a, you know, finally, at least you've got a start, I guess, for KU. It feels like they finally started the season offensively the way they thought that we thought they could.
Yeah, I want to go back to the Big 12 standings really quick, because I know that you mentioned kind of the way that things panned out on Saturday for the Wildcats and their, you know, hopes for a Big 12 championship. When you look at the two teams in front of them, BYU and Iowa State, obviously the Wildcats will play Iowa State in Farmageddon to wrap up the season. But BYU, their remaining schedule is pretty easy. I mean, they're on the road at UCF, on the road at Utah. They play Kansas at home, on the road at Arizona State, and they finish at home against Houston. I mean, that's a pretty good five-game stretch for BYU. So it's hard for me to think that, you know, the Wildcats, I don't think they, I mean, we, as we all have said before, they can't afford to lose another game if they want to stay in the race. It'd be different if one of those two teams had one loss, but with both BYU and Iowa State both undefeated in conference play, and the fact that BYU would hold the tiebreaker over Kansas State, your chances are significantly less, if not zero, if you lose another game here on out. So, I mean, that's the way that it was going into the West Virginia game. It's the way it's going to be this weekend against Kansas. And like I mentioned before the break, the Jayhawks would love to play spoiler. They, coming out of that bye week, of course, playing Houston on Saturday, looked like the Jayhawks that we wanted them to be, that we expected them to be, basically all season long when they were going through that rough stretch. They're improving. They played significantly better. The play calling was significantly better. Just everything completely from top to bottom was night and day different for the Jayhawks in the positive way. And that's great timing leading up to the Sunflower Showdown.
And they didn't even really have Hyshaw in the game either. It was, I mean, look, it's all been sort of the spotlight on Jalen Daniels, and
he looked great.
16 of 21. That's a Jalen Daniels line, right? Not some of these others. And he has progressively looked a whole lot better for 2 weeks in a row.
Yes.
That's what I really
like. You
want
to know what this is? And I said,
it's growth.
I said it all the way back near the beginning of the season when he wasn't looking like vintage Jalen Daniels. So much of this was rust. It had been so long since he had been on the football field and being able to play at that high level, dealing with the injuries and was shut down last year and all of that. It takes some time. It takes some time to get worked back in there. And it had gotten progressively better and better week in and week out. I mean, this is the same guy that a month ago we were having a debate about whether or not he should be benched as the starting quarterback. It took him a little bit of time to shake that rust off, but he did. And he's back. And well, I have no reason to believe that that's not going to continue.
I don't either. And the reality of the situation is now they can afford for him to work through the rust. It doesn't matter anymore.
And I think he did.
I think he did too. Yeah. At the times we were having those questions, it was like their season's getting away from them. The season already got away from them, right? So now it's like, let's get Jalen. Because Sharice brought this up last week. He has another year of eligibility. It's, you know, and I don't know what that means. Who knows? But yes, you know, for me with him, it's always been about, it's been his accuracy that has been way off. It wasn't anything physical. He just was missing throws, and he hasn't been now. He's been a far more accurate passer, you know, the last 2 weeks. He was just under 60% against Arizona State, but he's 75%, 76%. That's what Jalen Daniels is. He ran the ball a little bit too.
He did. And we're not talking about just, you know, short and intermediate passes. He dropped a dime for a touchdown to Quentin Skinner. That was a 55, 60 yard touchdown pass, whatever that was to Skinner. That was beautiful. It was placed perfectly. And you know, give
passes
credit.
He just wasn't making, you know, throws he was not making.
Give credit
to
Skinner for bringing it in. I mean, there was good coverage on that play from Houston.
They got so many ballers on that team.
They do.
Man, it's like I watched that game. And I'm so happy that they're back at the same time, so frustrated that, like, my goodness, like, this team is so much better than their record indicates. Now, at the end of the first half, I was like, are they really? Because Houston scores those 14 points in the second quarter, and they drive down, and KU ended up getting there. I'm like, God dang it. Like, here we go again at the end of a half, just, like, letting go of everything. Defense, like, it just, but they got things settled in. It'll be an interesting matchup with K-State because KU, in theory, can can match up favorably to what we've seen out of the K-State defense this year. Now, KU's also got to be able to stop somebody, you know, and this will be probably the best offense they've played on, quite honestly, all year long. So, you know, they'll have to have their best game of the year for them to have any chance, I think, this weekend. But again, 55.5, I see shootout city all over this.
Well, and I think the largest reason that the Jayhawks got the win on Saturday that we haven't talked about yet is they won the turnover battle. Kobe Bryant was phenomenal. I mean, he had 3 picks in the game. He tied a KU record for interceptions in one game. You know, look for the Wildcats, and I know that we'll talk much more about this game later in the week, but my first thought is look for the Wildcats to try to completely take Kobe Bryant out of the game. Like, don't even throw to his side of the field. The Jayhawks have really struggled this season.
Yeah,
the Jayhawks have really struggled this season defensively in stopping mobile quarterbacks. Avery Johnson, I think what we saw his arm against West Virginia, we're going to see his legs this weekend. That's why he's a dual threat quarterback and so good at all of it. So that's really been the Achilles heel defensively for the Jayhawks. I think that we'll see Kansas State lean into that.
Yeah, they don't need to throw it to any particular player. They throw it to about 13 guys in any individual game. When we come back, let's talk Chiefs. We'll get more. We scratched the surface on the 6-0 start, all the impressive things. Let's get a little bit into this Patrick Mahomes stuff. My goodness. Jad's got some great audio from it that we'll get to. Those two runs, like, just get out of here with that stuff. It's just incredible. We'll come back. That's where we start hour number 2. Your calls, your comments. The IHOP hotline is back open, 869-1240. We're coming back. More Sports Daily right after this.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
Must qualify for enrollment. Results may vary.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now.
800-583-5795.
Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call
800-583-5795. That's 800-583-5795.
Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Today, mix of sun and clouds, a chance of showers, high 80.
Weather brought to you by Robert Half. Robert Half's recruiting professionals use their award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. Learn more at roberthalf.com/talent today.
Save big money now at Menards. Transform everyday spaces into gathering places with custom craft countertops. From elegant to everyday options, the durability of custom craft countertops will last for years to come. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to menards.com/youcreate to start designing. Don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It's that time again. Fall. Leaves changing colors, sweaters, and the Spangles Caramel Pumpkin Pie Slide.
We start with a whole slice of real pumpkin pie. Layer it with our creamy vanilla soft serve and top it off with Ghirardelli Sea Salt Caramel.
So come in and try the Caramel Pumpkin Pie Slide and make it your new out-of-the-ordinary pumpkin treat. Because just like fall, it's only here for a limited time.
Spangles Caramel Pumpkin Pie Slide. It just tastes better.
Every morning, there's a difficult decision to make. Which Spangles breakfast bowl are you going to pick? There's the sausage bowl or the bacon bowl, both with country-style gravy, or the fiesta bowl with salsa, cheese, and jalapenos, or the pancake bowl with sausage. Pick up a breakfast bowl when you're on the go. Spangles, where breakfast just tastes better.
Spangles tastiness in 4 different varieties. Forget cold cereal and start your day hot and fresh with a Spangles breakfast bowl.
Spangles, it just tastes better. the KFH studios, powered by Devon James Injury Lawyers. Call 888-8888.
That's 888-8888.
Pro football action yesterday in the nation's capital. The first place Washington Commanders, 40. The Carolina Panthers, 7. Big win for the Commanders and getting some playing time at tight end for Washington, Ben Sinnott. The rookie from Kansas State, second-round draft pick, caught a 3-yard touchdown pass in the third quarter. The first touchdown in his career in the NFL for the Kansas State rookie. Also, at defensive tackle for the Commanders, Cornelius Lucas, another Kansas State Wildcat, played for 62 snaps, part of an offensive line that paved the way for more than 200 yards on the ground, only allowed one sack. The Washington Commanders are undefeated at home, now 5-2 on the season. Major League Baseball last night, Game 6 for the National League pennant, the Los Angeles Dodgers hosting the New York Mets. Wichita native Blake Treinen finishing out the game for the Dodgers out of the bullpen with scoreless work in the 8th and 9th innings. Dodgers beat the Mets 10-5. The Dodgers win 4-2 for the National League pennant. I'm Ted, the Sports Head!
If you missed Bob and Jeff, you missed this.
Here's what I do.
Don't care anymore.
I pay.
Yeah, and you pay an exorbitant amount of money lighting. For cable. What's your cable bill every month?
I make sure the sound is...
Cable bill.
I don't care. Money is largely irrelevant.
Then give me some.
I'll never give
it to you. It's irrelevant. Give it to me.
No, you'll never get it.
I'm going to reach into
your... Because I am not leaving my money to you.
Bob and Jeff, afternoons at 2 on KFH. If you missed Bob and Jeff, you missed this.
Jim, Johnny, or Joe, not three people who have never been in my kitchen.
Huh?
Karnak. You're talking about Johnny Carson's cue card. Follow the joke.
That would have been funny had it been presented in a way that people would have understood.
They did.
It.
Send that one to the Marconi Awards.
I don't know. I don't know. I'll let our listeners judge.
I've ramped it up a little bit.
Bob and Jeff, afternoons at 2 on KFH.
Hey, it's Tommy Caster from Sports Daily. Listen live to KFH on the Odyssey app and at KFHradio.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kaster. And we are ready to rock and roll here into hour number two as we are reacting to things that we saw this weekend. A lot of football talk, obviously, on a Monday. We've talked just a little bit about the Chiefs, and that's where we'll start this hour. Got into K-State's win, a little bit into KU's win. It's all available for you and open for conversation on the IHOP hotline, which you can celebrate the weekdays now with new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. So we'll go back to the Chiefs here, Tommy, because the Patrick Mahomes runs were just, they were just ridiculous. I believe Jad has some audio here on the runs. And then the one big one, the touchdown run, his comments after the game. So let's get those ready for you and play those out here. Here we go from Mitch Holthus on the Chiefs Radio Network.
to go in the game. Kansas City 14. San Francisco 12. Fourth down. Less than a yard for a touchdown. Mahomes takes the snap and wants to throw it. He'll step up into the pocket. Flag on the play. Mahomes is into the end zone. Touchdown! Kansas City! Second down, Kansas City, they say 7 at the 37, so a good spot for the Chiefs, leading by 2. A little over a minute left, third quarter, out of the shotgun. Mahomes in the pocket, he's going to scramble to the left side, and gets by him, out the defender, 35-yard line. Mahomes, stop and go, run, still on his feet, 15, 10, and inside the 5. The Tennessee Titans of 2019 are going, we've seen that before, he ain't going to go out of bounds. Mahomes runs for 33 yards. Stopping and going, hip dropping.
I actually was not trying to like lower my shoulder. I was trying to like absorb the hit. I knew I was gonna be right in the end, right there in the end zone, and that dad bod, man, just had enough weight on me where he went down. So it wasn't like I was necessarily trying to like seek out contact. I was trying to absorb it and get in the end zone, and just ended up looking good for me.
Mahomes does things physically that surprise us all the time. That surprised me because Mustafa was playing well. Like, he was all over the place, and he just bounced off of him. Looked like they were trying to tackle Derrick Henry in the end zone. And Mahomes, he went on to say later, like, he doesn't try to do that. The last time he remembers lowering his shoulder like that, he sprained his shoulder in college, and Iowa State beat him by 50 points. So it's not something he's trying to do, but it happened. But it happened. And I made this joke to friends. Like, I haven't seen Mustafa get trampled like that, Tommy, since the water buffalo, since he was betrayed by Scar.
How long, like, you had that one holstered up and ready to go?
Well, so let me tell you a little story about that, because I did send that out. And then after I sent it to, like, people, like, by text, I was like, I should have put that one on social media. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm telling my wife that story later. I'm like, oh, man, I had this. And she was like, it's not Mustafa, it's Mufasa. And I'm like, all right, fine. Like, whatever. Like, get out of here. Like, because I was proud of that one.
Yeah.
I was proud of that one. But it was. Like, it was just like, what the hell was that? Yeah, I thought that was more impressive than the sideline run. The sideline run, we've seen that before, right? We've seen the agility. We've seen the start-stop. We've seen all that. We've never seen him truck anybody. I mean, he trucked him.
Yeah. Can we just, like, just again salute just the overall greatness of Patrick Mahomes? Because things like that, I think I've mentioned this before, things like that, they're great. Don't get me wrong. I don't go crazy for, because, like, I'm so accustomed to seeing him do things that we've never seen, where I'm just sort of like, yeah, like, that's Mahomes. That's what he does. Completely unexpected. Expect the unexpected. That's Patrick Mahomes. It was great. I mean, both of those plays were phenomenal, and especially in the context of the game when he wasn't having a ton of success throwing the ball, threw a couple of interceptions. That's become, you know, sort of a thing this year, him throwing picks. In the context of all of that, that's what makes those runs that much more impressive, is just the fact that the Chiefs really needed them. They absolutely needed them, because the passing game really wasn't working the way that Mahomes, you know, would have liked them to. So, but as far as just the overall, like, wow factor, like, jaw-dropping impact, yeah, it's there. But I don't get, like, wild and crazy over him anymore, because I'm just so accustomed to Mahomes doing wild and crazy things all the time that we never expect.
I got wild and crazy for that one. That one surprised me. By the way, another one of these, the Chiefs are 6-0, ridiculous, just crazy, just absurd numbers things. Patrick Mahomes leads the league in interceptions. His quarterback rating, I don't even know how far down the list it is of starting quarterbacks, but it is way down the list. Yeah. Like, you got to scroll to the next page kind of bad in quarterback rating. And the Chiefs are 6-0. They don't have anybody on offense. He's not playing up to his. Now, he's playing different, is the reality for Mahomes. It's different. He's still playing very well because he's making plays like that. He's just playing different. But, I mean, he hasn't been great this year. He didn't have a great line yesterday. And all of these things, like, we just sit here and they're 6-0 playing the schedule that they've played. It is remarkable to, like, and that's what, so back to the last hour, I'm like, everything about this to me, like, it's almost like last year when things were unraveling, I kept saying, hang tight. Like, they got Mahomes, they got Kelsey, this defense is great, they'll be fine, they're equipped to win in the postseason. And I think all of that stuff is still true. Defense is even better. I don't think Travis Kelsey is the same factor he was a year ago. I do think that's different. I just keep going back to, like, can they just continue to do this all year? And will there be enough reserves just coming through? Like, I just, what I would hate, and what, like, this, and I don't feel like it's going to happen, but I'm like, at what point does the wind come out of the sails and all the good fortune go the other way? And is probably sooner than later, honestly, probably not like something that's all of a sudden going to happen in the postseason, but it's been wild. And, like, in the pendulum swings and the, you know, the karma back to the middle of the NFL that exists, it's like, how much longer can 6-0 with Mahomes not putting up numbers at all and all these injuries. And I mean, he built it around the defense. I mean, that's the bottom line, but man, it is, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's what the Chiefs have done and it's what they'll continue to do. And I think that I remember us having this conversation a few weeks ago about the Chiefs being comfortable playing this way. And it was kind
that
of,
they are.
It was kind of a debate at the time between you and I. And I think that, you know, at the time, both of us were like, yeah, like they are comfortable playing this way. But at least my opinion was, it's not the way that they want to play. It's not the way that in an ideal world they would like to play. Like, you look at Patrick Mahomes and his stat lines game by game, that's not the way that Patrick Mahomes would like to play. Those are not the stat lines that he would like to have. You know, you would love to be able to see more production in the passing game. Of course, the injuries play a large role in that for sure, but they're comfortable leaning into that. They're comfortable leaning into the run game and Kareem Hunt really being kind of the bell cow running back, at least as of now. And then really, you know, guys like Noah Gray, who had his best game as a pro yesterday. Kelce is out there and I think provides, of course, a lot of attention just because of who he is. Even just his presence on the field is going to attract attention. You know, and Jody Fortson is out there too. And then it's kind of a hodgepodge of receivers. They're comfortable with that. They're comfortable.